1952. It's the 50th Global Congress, and a great honour for Ireland to welcome it back to the East Shore. And with me in studio is Father Kevin Doran from Congress HQ to give us an update as to how the proper preparations are going. Welcome back to the studio.
Morning, Kevin. How are you?
Yeah, great. I'm doing very, very well, and you're looking well too. How's it all going for you over there?
Well, it's going very well. I mean, yesterday marked the 5 months, you know, so like in 5 months we'll be on the go, the Congress will
be actually
happening.
I know. And it's amazing because, you know, it was 2 years away and it was a year and a half away now.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
I mean, guess what? 5 months is like, it's kind of weeks really in some respects, you know. You can count 5 months in weeks.
That's right. And, and you know, as Joyce said in Finnegan's Wake, you know, probably a reference to the Mass, you know, here comes everybody.
Yeah.
And just yesterday, for instance, I had an email from the national delegate from El Salvador who said, you know, they hope to have 40 people. This morning I had confirmation that there's already 50 people booked in Taiwan.
That's amazing.
The guy from Zambia was on to me. He said they're working on their thing at the moment. The priest in Bulgaria was on to say, you know, they're looking to know how many people can they bring, you know, and this kind of stuff. So it's
kind of mind blowing.
Yeah, and some of them are nearly, you know, they have their tickets booked, and you can imagine they're nearly packing their suitcases at this stage, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very exciting. I was just, you know, when we were talking off mic there during the music, of just how exciting. You just sit and you look at the venue, and you look at all the plans, and it's hard to not get excited about it because it's really fantastic.
It is, and one of the things that fascinates me, we've been based over at the RDS now for just a year, and we're aware of what a fantastic venue it is because we're seeing the things that are happening there all the time, and the different versatile way in which the different one of the great things about the RDS is that, you know, basically what you get is an empty box and you put what you want in it, you know.
Yeah.
And as well as having our Mass and our keynote addresses in the main arena where the show jumping normally is, a lot of the rooms around are being used for a very extensive program of workshops and cultural events. So we have, you know, key speakers or presenters both from around Ireland and from overseas who'll be unpacking, you know, stuff about maybe the spirituality of the Eucharist, but also maybe inviting us to reflect on what it means to be the people of the Eucharist. You know, how does that challenge us in the way that we live in, you know, society from a day-to-day basis? And there'll be fun, there'll be music.
I was going to say, you know, since last we were talking, like the timetable really has fleshed out quite a bit, hasn't it?
That's right. At the moment, an awful lot of the details are actually available already on our website, but we are producing a little program booklet which includes details of about 50% of the workshops, and that's only because we'd have to produce twice the size of a booklet, and we can't afford to do that just at the moment.
And you know, in this day and age, everybody's savvy with the technology, and it's almost like carrying a book around when you could actually, all you need to do is go online, which you can do for most people on their phone, find out stuff.
But this little program booklet will be going out to parishes all around the country around the end of January.
One of the things that I find so exciting about this is, like, when we talked first about this, is the idea of, you know, you say the word Eucharist, and you get, you know, for many people, and I don't want to kind of put words in anyone's mouth here, but it's a narrow little concept. But the minute you start talking about it, it's just mind-blowing. It's so big.
Yeah.
And I think that's been really good. It's like you went at this with a philosophy of going, that's really, really kind of almost like, you know, unpack the idea of what Eucharist is.
Well, one of the things, Ronan, that we tend to do at times is to separate out our relationship with Jesus Christ on the one hand and our relationship with one another on the other hand. And what I sometimes ask people to do is to imagine a situation where you're invited to dinner in a friend's house and you kind of say, oh, that's grand. Now, I'd love to go up to John and Mary and we'll be very comfortable there, be very relaxed, they're good friends. And you arrive up then, you find John and Mary have about 10 other people there at dinner and you don't know
any of them.
Right, and so you're challenged to enter into relationship. Now, in a sense, Eucharist is a bit like that because Jesus invites us into relationship with him.
Very good analogy, but
the thing is, he invites us into relationship with one another as well. That's not always so easy.
That's a good point, actually. And he was saying, I'm happy enough with you, Lord, but what about all these crazy people?
That's right. No, yeah.
And that idea. And you're absolutely right. I remember at one point, a priest saying to me, you know, I'm there and I'm on the altar and we're talking about the body of Christ. I'm looking out at the body of Christ.
That's right.
Which is fantastic. Yeah.
And one of the things we've been doing since we spoke last is we set up a little justice and development committee, and we've developed what's called an inclusive parishes project. And one of the things we're inviting people to do is, you know, in a parish community, just to sort of sit down and reflect a little bit and this is on our website, to sit down and reflect a little bit about how we can be more inclusive towards those who are at risk of being excluded around us. And in every parish it's different. It could be migrants, it could be the unemployed, it could be the, you know people who have suffered in one way or another, economically or socially. And I suppose what we're asking people is to sit down and not say what we can't do, but what we can. And actually one of the big exciting things is coming up towards the end of February. There'll be more information about it in due course, but CrossCare, they've...
I noticed you got a tie in there. That's amazing.
Yeah, CrossCare is the agency for the care of the, you know, the homeless and people who are in economic difficulty in the Dublin Archdiocese, and they're putting on a programme, a full-day conference on communion and inclusion at the end of February. So hopefully a lot of people might be inspired to go to that. It's part of the preparations for the Congress.
Wow. And again, you know, this all this does is it frees our mind a little bit. You know, I mean, it's so funny how, like, the minute you mention Eucharistic Congress, everyone thinking about 1932 and the kind of names of people, and they're all in black and white, of course, too. Which is the other thing. And it's not to say that there isn't elements of that there, but that there's a whole heap of much, much more than that.
I tend to think of the Martha and Mary story as well in the Gospel, because, you know, at the end of that story, and it's the bit that people sometimes miss, Jesus said one thing only is necessary, and that one thing is to love the Lord with your whole heart. Martha did it in one way, which was true service. Mary did it in another way, through sitting and engaging him in conversation. And again, if you go back to the thing of inviting the people to your home for dinner, you really have to do both. And for us in church, I suppose, in a sense, we're called into intimacy with Christ. But we're also called then to go out to one another. And so the Martha and Mary, they, you know, it's not one or the other, it's both. And so that's what the Eucharistic Congress is about too.
Are preparations all, everything's where it should be at the stage?
I wouldn't be telling you all our secrets, but, you know, I'm very happy with the way things are going. We have a fantastic staff over there, with nearly 30 people working full-time, and then we've just opened up a volunteer centre. We've actually 3 full-time people working in the volunteer area, but the idea of the volunteer centre is we have hot desks, and volunteers who are available maybe one day or 3 days a week or whatever can come in and help us with some of the admin stuff, or help us with, you know, phone calls or that type of thing.
In fact, the last conversation I had was about this very thing, about getting volunteers in. Are you still looking for volunteers?
We are. We have 800 at the moment. We're probably looking for about another 1,200. Okay. The cut-off date for that is March the 17th, because there's a process of preparation of volunteers, both spiritually and...
Practically.
Yeah. When I say spiritually, I mean it's not a degree in theology, but what we want to do is to help people to engage with what the Congress is about, not just to do a job, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And you want the person that you deal with on the other end of the phone, or who is organising yourself, to get the sense of what it's about and not chewing your head off and all that kind of stuff. Not that they'd be doing that.
No.
God forbid. So what I was going to say to you is, you're talking about 2,000 people in all that you're looking for, and you're almost halfway there. So we're looking for another 1,000 or so.
And it could be any... I mean, we have a retired missionary now who's just joined us to do some translation work on our website in Spanish.
Wow.
You know, that's one. We have 2 people who are also looking after our host accommodation program, so 2 volunteers themselves. And what we're actually asking, this is a thing that some people around might be able to help us with, if you have room in your home.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are pilgrims coming from places where they wouldn't have much, you know, in the line of resources, and any resources they have are going to be taken up with coming here.
Getting to the country,
and
exactly.
So,
yeah.
You know, take, for example, El Salvador or India or Peru, where we've had requests from places like this, that we're looking for people who would be willing, and they can contact us through our email, whatever, and offer.
So the website is iec.ie, is it?
No, it's www.iec2012.ie.
Okay, yeah. 2012.ie, sorry about that, yeah. iec2012.ie. Great. Because it's just, as I said, it seems like you probably, in terms of volunteers, there's almost an enormous myriad of things that you could do, isn't it, in terms of you're going to need people for stewarding, you're going to need people for all sorts of other things as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, meeting people at the airport, and, you know, if you get, you know yourself, if you've travelled anywhere long distance, especially, you get off the plane at the airport, what's lovely is to meet someone who say, look, just sit over here, we have a, you know, someone who can talk to you in your own language, we can tell you how to get to your hotel or whatever it is.
Having been a traveller, particularly even from a band point of view, it's amazing how often someone will go to an enormous amount of trouble, book you, get you in, pay an enormous amount of money to get you into a place, and then not have anything to meet you at the airport, and you're really lost.
I have to say one thing too as well, just when you mentioned bands, I had forgotten, of course, about your previous existence, but one of the things that when you say bands, you think of young people. We have, and it's exciting, it's taking shape at the moment, a youth space at the Congress, which is going to cater for, we hope, about 2,000 young people.
Wow.
It's kind of a mini youth day.
Right.
And the young people will join with the rest of the pilgrims for the main events at the Congress. But each day, for a period of, maybe 3 or 4 hours, they'll have their own dedicated program. I'm talking about young people between the ages of 18 and 30.
Fantastic.
And there will be some workshops and some times of prayer, but we will have some bands as well.
Yeah, brilliant, great stuff. It's very exciting, and I'm hoping we get to talk to you lots more about this as we get closer to it. Maybe we can do something on a kind of bi-weekly or monthly kind of thing as we approach it. It would be really great.
Yeah.
Father Kevin, anything else that we want to say in terms of people want to get involved?
Well, I suppose the one message I would say, if you want to get involved, I mean, the first thing, in a sense, is like going on your holidays. If you don't book your ticket, you're going nowhere.
Yeah.
And in a sense, people find it hard to understand in relation to church because you're used to going to Mass and you just go in.
Just there,
But, going into a venue with 20,000 other people like the RDS, for health and safety reasons and for planning, things like simultaneous translations and so on, we actually need to know who's coming.
Right.
So whether you're, 18 or 80 and you want to come to the Congress, please make your booking as soon as possible.
Fantastic. And that would be through www.iec2012.ie?
Yeah, and there's a page there that's, that's dedicated to booking or registration.
Fantastic. Father Kevin Doran from the Eucharistic Congress 2012, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
God bless you.